So welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And before we get started, for immediate release, last week's live stream is invalid.
Oh, yeah.
Due to the fact that I mispronounced Talis Lanta about half a dozen times during the podcast, reducing my credibility to zero.
Not negatives?
I'm getting close. Okay. Yeah. Negative credibility. So I deeply apologize to the OSR community and fans of Talis Lanta. The person responsible has been replaced. And yes. I've been hired in his place.
Oh, you sure you want to say that? You sure you want to? Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So what is the correct pronunciation?
Talis Lanta.
Talis Lanta.
I was putting an I in the – I was putting two I's in it, so I was saying Talis Lanta. I think because
– Talis Lanta.
I transcribed an I because I was writing Atlantis, and I transcribed an I, another I in there, and like, and it just kind of copy-pasted into the rest of my notes. So apologies for that.
Invalid.
Invalid, yes. So, yeah, please refer to the TSR Human Resources for any other invalid. All right. So this week on The Weekly, Victoriana for 5e, Forbidden Psalm expansion, The Wizarding World of 5e, and Magnetic Press publishing TTRPGs.
Oh, cool.
So let's start with Cubicle 7. Mm-hmm. So Cubicle 7 announced this is one of their first RPGs that they ever published. So Victoriana is going to be produced for 5e. So it's been described as kind of a Victorian Shadowrun.
Okay. Yep.
So it's kind of steampunk fantasy. And this will be the fourth iteration of the game. So they've had three other editions. And the third was published on 2013. And okay. So 5e would be the fourth.
Right.
So they're happy to be producing this under the Open Games license. It is one of the first games they ever published, and it's set in the alternate world of 1887. The old ways of magic and tradition are losing ground to science revolution and the cloying smoke of industrialization.
Right.
So it sounds pretty cool. So the first thing they're going to do is produce the Victorian Player's Guide. That'll be the first book that they'll produce for 5e. Right.
Are they doing, is Cubicle 7 doing a parallel thing? So what I mean is, like, we've talked before, but like there have been some games who have been ported over to other systems, mm-hmm. and they've kind of been developed simultaneously with other systems, right? I think, so was there any indication that Victoriana 4th edition, or whatever they're calling the latest, or the 3rd edition, is going to continue to have material made for it while they're also doing a 5e version? Because
that's a good point.
I keep saying, I can't fault people for making their games compatible with the most popular gagging spoon role-playing game in the world, right? You're that's the largest, unfortunately, player base.
Yeah.
So making your game accessible, or making your game for that rule set, just guarantees you're going to get more eyes on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not sure. It probably depends on the success of this, like how many people pick this up, because they probably have an existing backlog of adventures and expansions, and they'll probably port those over depending on what the response is. But as far as they said, nothing's, and there hasn't really been, I mean, since the third edition, I don't know how much has been published since 2013. Right. So that's 8 years of, maybe nothing, but that's, it's been around for a while. It's one of their early, maybe their, kind of their oldest children, their most beloved. So they may, if they see any kind of like uptick in popularity, that may happen.
So I think I've looked at Victoriana.
Mm-hmm.
I may even have like a early copy of it possibly. And yeah, it's, I think I was looking at it around the same time I was looking at like the Ubiquity or AAA games, like Leagues of Adventure or something, which is the Ubiquity system, kind of, it's kind of the same-ish idea, kind of like fantasy 1800s, kind of steampunky. The thing that turned me personally off of Victoriana was sort of magic and fantasy races there. So, like, not knocking that for anyone who likes that. I just kind of don't, it being Shadowrun-ish-esque, I don't like that mix of tech and magic for me. So I kind of went like, I don't really want rat men or rat folk in my alternate Victorian era-ish steampunk stuff.
I gotcha. But yeah.
Some people do, so that's totally fine.
But I was happy to see that they're doing something other than Warhammer RPGs because they announced recently that Lone Wolf has been discontinued.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, the they've been doing the Lone Wolf RPG for quite a while now. And just announced, and it was kind of a very ambiguous statement. Mm. Unfortunately, due to unexpected developments, Cubicle 7 will no longer be publishing Lone Wolf role-playing game with Home Guard Press. Hmm. So something happened with the rights or the relationships.
Right. Or Home Guard Press.
Yeah, right, right. Mm. So, what they are doing is doing kind of a clearance. So everything is 50% off on the store. And to kind of celebrate, people enjoying the game and all the fans, they had a raffle for the 6 remaining physical copies of Rookhaven. So that happened last week. So I think they're going to announce the winners by the end of the month and give away the last of those books. So an end of an era, an end of the series. So it seems like more things are leaving Cubicle 7 than are being, but so I was happy to see they're at least doing something to stay a little bit alive with, more original IPs and not just Warhammer.
Right. Well, I guess Cubicle 7 would have to, through the open gaming license. So they don't really have to partner with Wizards of the Coast or Hasbro to do that stuff.
Yeah. But they did announce also that they are producing a second edition of the Doctor Who role-playing game. So
4.5e.
another license. Another license property. So we'll see how that goes. But good luck to anybody that entered and hope you get your copy of Rookhaven to finish your Lone Wolf campaign.
Yeah. So I honestly don't mind IP. I don't mind role-playing games based on existing IPs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because playing like Leverage or Marvel Super Heroes or Alien or any of the other ones, I think they're a decent way to get new people into the hobby.
Because
especially if they're IPs that exist in other media.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right, right.
I mean, you're probably not going to get a huge number of people. But if someone said, you know what? I liked whatever movie or TV show or comic book or whatever. Here's a game on it. Take a look.
Mm. Right? So, yeah.
And the number is fairly small, but still.
Mm. It might help too. But and I also think if it's a strong enough IP or it's distinct enough, it helps the expectations you come to the table with. Like Alien, I think especially was good at that. We kind of know this is going to be terrifying and there could be a lot of dismembered corpses and a body horror and all that stuff.
So that there's not going to be like xenomorphic parasites, right? No, not Alien. No.
Yeah, so that does help a little bit. But I don't know. The thing that we did talk about before is the kind of lore nerds do sometimes get in the way of heavy IPs, so that they'll contest the game master. Be like, excuse me, but
you don't want a solution. you're contesting me again. There's the door. Right. Or a dropped call if you're on Zoom or something. Yep.
Right. Yeah, you take 12 damage every time you say, actually.
Yeah.
All right. So welcome to GamesWorkshop.com. You're in a queue. The Games Workshop web store is open for business, but we're experiencing high levels of traffic now. To make sure everything works smoothly, we're using a simple queue system. You don't need to do anything right now. Your place is saved. When your place in the queue is up, the page will update.
Wow.
So what is this?
Wow.
The estimated wait time is 11 minutes. You don't need to refresh, but if you do, you won't lose your place in line. You have 10 minutes to complete your purchase, which then you will be, you will be returned to the queue. Stock is limited, so if you delay or leave without checking out, there is a risk of quick selling items going out of stock.
Wow.
So Games Workshop implemented for their kind of big limited releases this queue it system that really sucks.
Okay.
And so if you're thinking about trying to get the new edition of Kill Team that's coming out, you're going to be stuck in this queue. I would advise exiting this queue and heading over to the Kickstarter for the expansion for Forbidden Psalm.
Okay. I was wondering where this was going. Okay.
So forget that. Forget whatever they're trying to do. If they don't want to sell your games, or if they want to sell you their games on eBay instead of the local game shops, then fine. I suggest you support independent developers, play a miniatures agnostic game set in the Morkborg setting.
Oh, cool.
So Wizards in the Footsteps of the Mad Wizard, a Forbidden Psalm expansion.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we talked about Forbidden Psalm. So the Morkborg 28mm miniature agnostic skirmish game. And so this continues from the kind of adventures, the scenarios that were in the original rulebook. and gives you 15 session long, 15 session long campaign. So a new campaign system giving you a richer opportunity for progression and injury. 15 new scenarios, pets. And did I mention pets? More weapons, relics, and treasures, and more than 10 new monsters. So the randomness intensifies, and dozens of new tables for that sweet, sweet emergent narrative.
Cool.
So the cool thing about this, too, and what I was going to ask them about is if that hardcover of the original rulebook was still available. It is available as an add-on in this Kickstart campaign. So cool. I'll put a link to that. And if you haven't, you should check out Forbidden Psalm. You don't have to wait for the end of the Kickstarter if you want the core rules digitally right now. Or I think there are hard copies still available at Exalted Funeral. You can still get the softcover. So hardcover will be available for both the core book and the expansion in this Kickstarter. And it's got great art. So I would recommend checking that out if you're thinking at all. And just recently getting into 3D printing miniatures, there's so much great demonic, hellish, like really messed up, grimdark stuff. So you can put together a really good war band
for this game. I'll have to go look at this now.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So
I heard an actual play of Mjölkborg, because we've talked before about how, as an art book, the book is absolutely gorgeous.
Yes.
I've kind of been wondering about the system, and there was one part from this other actual play where I was listening to where, sometimes you're going to, like, it's the end of the world. Like, that's the premise, right? Like, all these dooms are going to happen, and it seems like you roll on these, like, doom table to see what horrible portent has popped up.
Right.
And one of them was all children under 7 years and 7 days die in a night and rises undead, including those not yet born. I listen to that and I'm like, I think I might have to check out of this AP.
Check out.
I actually kept listening, but I'm like, it's something that does not have to happen.
Yes.
And it's just random roll. But like hearing that, I'm like, that's really disturbing to the point where I don't know if I want to play this game. I wonder what the other things are like. So that hearing that was one of, and I continued listening. Like that didn't seem to factor into like the game that they played at all, apart from like a little bit of color narrative. That made me wonder if I wanted to pick up the book.
Wow, yeah.
That makes me that's gruesome, right?
Yeah, that makes me want to pick up two copies. Wow. Yeah, no, that's like, and especially like if that's just background, it's like, this is happening. There's been reports of this. So this is the world you're in. So like, you know, make decisions based on how desperate, you know, everyone around you is going to be as their children attack them, you know, seeking their brains.
Yeah, seeking brains. Yeah, yeah. So I interrupted. But I am curious about the miniatures miniatures agnostic game, because I do want to see how they have adapted TTRPG rules to miniature skirmish game,
right?
Which, I mean, come on, that's where TTRPG started. So I kind of want to see where it's come back to.
Yeah, and the thing I like about this, and why I want to try both and see if there's some synergy there, is it's completely compatible. So all the rules and everything you're doing in the miniatures game, you could actually like be jumping back and forth, have a session of skirmish, a session of role play. And that might be, and that would actually make the maybe combat a little bit more fun, because you go in the expectation of, we're just going to play combat. Like this session, we're just going to play a miniatures combat, and then we'll go back to, you know, advancing the story.
It's kind of, it doing that, and that would be awesome if this pandemic would end and Japan would get off its ass. And sorry, I forgot, we're not the vaccine serum work, right? Anyway, if you could get that campaign together.
Yes.
Miniature games are already fun, but like knowing that, great, whatever state your character comes out of this skirmish session in is how you're starting the next role-playing game session That's terrifying. Right. Like you'd be like, no, I don't. Yeah. Anyway, that would be awesome. And then kind of setting things up wherever you end the next role playing session, or you're gearing up towards something where it's going to lead you into the next tabletop scenario. I think that would be a really fun campaign to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be nice. And it would help the expectation and sort of like, oh, we're doing combat now. You know, like sometimes the role playing session is just like, oh, we did 3 hours of combat. Great. That was a good time.
I think I've lightened my stance on 4E. I think if I had had that mentality 4E would not have felt like such a drag, that campaign we did, where it's kind of like...
Right.
Yeah, but... if you think about that, one of the things that might be difficult, at least with the role-playing session, if you know where the skirmish game point is going to kick in,
depending
on how quickly or not people get there, or the characters get there, the session might feel truncated and kind of unsatisfactory.
That's true. Yeah, you might want to have like, okay, we're not going to play this as skirmish. We'll do this combat as, you know, like, yeah. So, or if you, yeah, that would be true because it'll be very unpredictable when it would cut to, unless you're really going to railroad and say, yeah.
Or unless you're going to give the GM or the person running the game a bunch of prep work where kind of wherever the TTRPG session ends, the next one's going to be the skirmish game. Or 5 minutes to get set up. And then during that downtime, the GM's going to have to come up with whatever skirmish scenario you're playing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But it's cool. It's really compelling. It's a great, great idea. And excellent art by Johan Noor on the cover for the for all of the Forbidden Psalm stuff. So check that out, and I'll put a link to that.
Cool.
Have I told you about the 5e conversion I'm doing for Monster Hearts?
I'm going to just stand up and fucking leave right now.
Well, actually, I'm not doing that.
Thank God.
But if I was, would you be tempted to have Donna visit a University of Magic?
I got so mad I forgot where the segue was. Oh, you're talking about Strixhaven, right?
Yes. Well, she can't play any of those 5 deleted subclasses. Strixhaven coming in. So they just announced, they've been doing playtesting, and they announced that they're getting rid of 5 subclasses, which people seem to like, but it's just not going to work because the idea is these are going to be impossible to play homebrew or other adventures. They're just going to be too unwieldy. So they may show up as feats or something in the book. And so make them more usable in any setting. But Strixhaven will give you the ability to play Owlkin as a playable race, which you've been dying to do, I'm sure. And that's coming out, November 18th of this year. Strixhaven, a Curriculum of Chaos. And so I guess this is based on a Magic card set.
I think it's not the most recent one, because the most recent one is the Forgotten Realms.
Right.
But I think the previous one was Strixhaven.
And it feels very Harry Potter.
It is. Possibly, but what with Harry Potter being such a huge touchstone, for better or worse, in pop culture, any kind of University of Magic is going to be compared to Harry Potter stuff. I don't think you can avoid it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, magic schools are hard to get out from under the shadow of Hogwarts. Yeah.
it seemed to work pretty well. I haven't looked at the Strixhaven set. Mm-hmm. Based on what I know about magic, and I still do like the design there, you're going to have 5 houses.
Yeah, right.
One for each color of magic, right? Which works, I think, pretty well for magic. I've seen some discussion about, first off, people seem to be getting real angry about sending your D&D character to a university or college,
right,
where it's just like, here's the solution. Then don't go, right?
Lay siege to the building and
burn it to the ground. We're going to go to college. No. Nope. All right. Let's go play somewhere else, right? So, yeah. I didn't know that they had kind of deleted or removed 5 subclasses for the Strixhaven, whatever of chaos it is. Actually, slightly more props to Wizard of the Coast for doing that.
Mm.
Because I feel a lot of times any setting where you just say anything and everything, you're just like, this is boring as fuck, dude.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So no, these don't work. We tried. We can't fit them in. They're not really appropriate for the setting. So don't use them. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's how you go about designing a game, especially like an add-on like this. So
right.
But hey, bonus, you got the Owlkin to make up for them, right?
Yes. I can't wait to play an Owlkin rogue. You don't actually have to be a mage or a magic user to take part. So you're like a janitor at the university?
Possibly. That actually be pretty funny.
I'm not enrolled. I'm just kind of hanging out. I'm one of those guys that likes
to. Oh my God. I kind of want to play this now. Okay. So no, you're not Strixhaven students.
Yes.
You're the fucking townies where Strixhaven is set, right?
Nice.
You're just trying to like, here's your goal. You're just like bumming around like magical frat parties trying to get in. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Nice. But something odd that was said in some of the kind of early interviews they're doing about this. So they tried to reflect their own experiences as university students, okay. not only how much excitement and optimism there was as a college student, but also what a hot mess college life can be.
Okay.
So if you're having that much trouble in university, you're kind of doing it wrong. Like, I mean, high school is the prison that you're forced to go to. And you know,
but the did they mean yeah. class-wise or like interpersonal drama?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. That. Yeah. So
I agree. If you're a hot mess in class for like more than a semester or two, you're just working out.
Right, right. Yeah. So it's a little odd. I think high school, and that's, you know, I think Monster Hearts is appropriately set in high school because that's where the tension is. You kind of get stuff resolved, right. you know, by, and you kind of know a little bit more who you are, or at least are heading in that direction right. by university. So if university is that difficult, it's odd. And do you think the reason this isn't like a, because a boarding school is like a, you know, junior high school age. Do you think they age this up specifically? Because isn't Harry Potter that's like boarding school age? Yeah. So they age this up to make it more acceptable for like, you
it
know.
It might be that. It might be more of the, or personally, I just thought of this now, might be more of the fact that the U.S., where Wizards of the Coast is set, doesn't really do boarding schools.
Right, right.
Right. I mean, they're not work brain. Like, we've heard of them. Mm-hmm. They exist. Just right. I don't think in the number that they do in Europe or other places. So I think that was probably a factor. The age is also a factor because, I mean, you go to university, you have like returning students or whatever they want to call like older students who are coming back or now have an opportunity to go get some kind of degree. I guess in Strixhaven terms, from what I read, it's you don't have to be a magic user or be able to wield magic. You're just going there to learn about magic,
right.
which... Okay, you had to come up with something
right,
yeah, where they weren't going to go mages only, right? right. Which that would have been pretty cool, but no. Okay,
anyway. So, yeah. Yeah, so we'll see if this, yeah, how this turns out by that way. Maybe we won't. We probably won't see how it turns out.
If you want to donate a book yeah, so we can right tonight, read yeah. through it. Okay.
We'll be willing to do that if a copy shows up. Yeah.
I am interested, although I kind of suspect I already know the answer, how they're going to resolve that like hot mess drama thing. Because one of the little blurbs I read was something about, you know, taking tests and or doing stuff represented by skill checks. And I said, that sounds right. boring as fuck.
Right. That's
right. right. Like yeah. I get it. Skill checks are built into the D&D 5e game. You don't want to like radically depart from what scaffolding is already there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the best fit. And I imagine any kind of, if you're going to highlight social interaction at all this stuff, like, hey, go to wizard school prom or whatever, I kind of suspect it's also going to be skill challenges.
Yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't really excite me, but...
Yeah, that's yeah. true. Yeah.
My whole Twitter this week has been the repeating discourse of you use certain tools to achieve certain effects, mm-hmm. and you can do any effect with any tool, but some are going to be better than others.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. But what campaign setting do you get the opportunity to say pop quiz hot shot, you know, at the beginning of every session? Oh, man. Yeah. That test taking doesn't sound very fun. Anyhow, new semester.
Unfortunately, you know what? I really want to run a game.
The townies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Crashing at a magical university. Especially if you play like fighter, wizard, no, fighter, thief, cleric, if you obviously look non-magical.
Right, right.
How are you going to crash that wizard frat party? Like, I want to see that happen.
Yeah. Nice. Strixhaven adjacent. All right. Well, Magnetic Press announced, like that transition.
Yes, I did. They
announced they're getting into tabletop RPGs, and they're doing a new imprint to publish. Using some properties that they've already published as comics, and then also they're licensing Call of Cthulhu, the Chaosium game, to do a series of adventures for that setting
adventures.
As well.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, so they're not going to do their own system. They're just going to support that. Right. So Polarity owns Magnetic Press, and I don't know much about them, but they're kind of an entertainment, you know, kind of management. So I think they're looking for synergy, and they're looking to support things that they've had success with, because they've had some Emmy Award-winning... I'm sorry, Am I confusing? Mixing stuff? Yeah, mixing awards. They have had some Eisner award-winning comics. So they're hoping for some Any award-winning games.
Right, yeah, possibly. Yeah.
So they've had some Eisner awards, so they've had some success with some of their titles. The first title that they will turn into a tabletop setting is Carbon Gray, which is an alternative history reminiscent of the World War I Europe with fantastic kind of diesel punk technology and the paranormal. So someone that we know, Andrew E.C. Gaska, is producing, cool. Is working with the graphic novelist and producing this game. And so
That's going to be its own system?
I think so. Yeah, it doesn't say specifically about the system or if they're going to use
something else.
Yeah, they just reference that he's actually going to be writing it.
Cool.
But they don't say what system that it's actually going to be relying on. Do they? Let me double check.
Well, based on the fact that you said they're going to license from Chaosium, the Call of Cthulhu,
yes,
whatever, to produce Call of Cthulhu adventures and scenarios.
They are using the West End Games D6 system.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, I should have led with that. So that first project under the new imprint will capitalize on the licensing partnership with West End Games. So they're going to use their D6 roleplay system.
Apparently West End Games is still around.
I guess if they have control of that system. Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be the foundation for the mechanics. Cool. So they aren't going to do anything original. They're going to use an old kind of classic system, which works great for that. We played the Star Wars, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
That was one of the first... Actually, kind of one of the first games that I ran, and it's a pretty decent system. I mean, like, I'm sure if I went through it now, and I think I lost all the books, unfortunately, I'd probably have quibbles with it. But I liked the, hey, everything's a die. You just kind of, like, roll them and count them up, and yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, so that's great. So we are excited to work with Magnetic Press Play. So Press Play is the imprint for their tabletop games and their lineup of D6 system based titles. So Stephen Week of West End Games and Nocturnal Media. So it's still cool. Yeah, it still exists. We're honored that they chose West End Games' time tested system as the core of Carbon Gray and their other planned titles. I can't wait to see the results once they hit the table. So yeah, that's interesting. So yeah, that'll be a little old school. I mean, that may attract some people to check things out because it's a new setting but old system. So nice mix.
I would imagine, actually, no proof of that, but I would imagine that they would possibly modernize the system a little bit, or at least streamline it, kind of bring it up to date, if that hasn't already been the case. Like, I can't think of any examples because I haven't read that D6 system in a long time. Mm-hmm. But it's just, hey, it's not D&D 5e, so points there. It also uses D6, where it's the most common die type.
Yes, so, right.
Good choice there too.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I've liked that. There's been kind of a move back to D6. And that's the thing that's always attracted me to, you know, Warhammer games and stuff is big handfuls of D6s is fun. So
it's fun until you knock over like half your army by like chucking buckets on the table and you're like, oh, hold on.
And half of them are stuck in terrain. And Nice. So so we will have more information once projects start to launch later this year.
Cool.
So yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm excited that they've got a good writer working with them, and so we will see some of those results. Yep. So yeah, keep an eye out for Magnetic Press Play for new tabletop RPGs based on the D6 system. Yeah.
It also sounds like they're doing kind of a smart move by licensing the Call of Cthulhu trapping to them produce adventures because. Kind of like we discussed last time, a way to build up or kind of get your foot in the door and build up good press is to release third-party supplements for existing systems, right? It proves like, hey, you can write games, hey, you kind of know the system. Also just kind of gets your name out there, build up a fan base, and then say, we also make our own games.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think I think that's a smart move, and it may just maybe because the management, they kind of know a good path towards a... Let's enter this market, but let's not just, you know, insult everybody, use a lot of hate speech, and then just delete all of our social media accounts.
Learn from that TSR account, right? Yeah.
Nice. All right. So that'll do it for this week. So
awesome.
Where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always. That's HiveMind, HiveMynd, where... I think I'm done with the Edgar Rice Burroughs Barsoom series.
Yes.
I'm like almost done book 3 of Warlords of Mars, and Warlord singular, and yeah.
Right.
Like elements of it are interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Like the red Martians, green Martians, yellow Martians, black Martians, white Martians. Well, not so much, but like the places, the locations, kind of like the cultures, mm-hmm. like having this giant polar city with a giant magnet in the center of it that attracts ships. And that's why it's been a secret, because no one can escape. Anyway, it's cool. The protagonist is boring. I'm sorry. Where we left off last, John Carter, after 9 days without food or drink, teetering on the edge of madness, simply decided to not go insane.
Oh.
He just said, I willed myself back from the edge of sanity. I'm like, great.
As you do.
As you do. You just decide to stop being hungry. Okay.
What's right? with all this madness?
Yeah, yeah.
Forget
yeah.
about that.
It's just, yeah, woof. Yeah. New appreciation for Conan mm-hmm. and not Edgar Rice Burroughs, sorry. Howard.
Robert E. Howard.
Yeah. Because it's kind of like same genre, same conventions. Conan seems like much more of an actual person.
Yeah.
And the setting seems kind of like more realistic than Barsoom. Where like neither of them are heroes, neither of them are really good. Conan's at least kind of internally consistent and has flaws that are actually fucking flaws instead of like bonuses and benefits in disguise. Right. So yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
I care too much. I work too hard.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I care too much. I work too hard. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, I think I might be tapping out at the end of that.
All right.
But, yeah, that's all in development of Crimson Dunes of Mars, kind of a little pulp Sword and Planet setting for Brighthammer.
Oh, nice.
Which I have notes for but haven't had a chance to sit down in front of the computer because it's brutally hot.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you don't have air conditioning in your computer room, you're just like, no.
But doesn't that simulate the Crimson Dunes well? No, no, okay. It doesn't inspire you.
It doesn't inspire me. It doesn't inspire me. Anyway, cool. All right. So how about you?
Oh, I do a single panel gag cartoon that I live stream the creation of weekly. So if you go to abusecartoons.com or abusecartoons on YouTube or Twitch, you can find me there. So that happens Monday nights, Tuesday afternoons in Japan. And yeah, so please join me there. If you want to see some more Upturned Table, watch the new, that's why Warzone is on the table. Yeah. Watch the new deep lore for Mutant Chronicles about the Megabody, if you didn't know. And you can visit upturntable.com. And also support us on Patreon. So patreon.com/upturntable. Become a weakling and see more weekly benefits. And maybe we can even figure out a way to get an early week or an early start on the week for those weaklings. Week. Yes. We can, I guess when we're live streaming, everyone gets it right away. Yep. But you can see a more uncut, maybe all the swearing we do before the cameras go on, we'll record.
I'm going to have to start policing my language a lot more then. All right.
All right. So thanks for joining us and we'll see you next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.